You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, women, when should you start getting a mammogram? Government guidance is very confusing on this, and we'll try to clear things up for you before it's too late, obviously. What does your handwriting say about you? One of the world's foremost experts joins us live. Will El Nino, the value of the dollar, or terrorism dog your plans to take a cruise? Our travel guy weighs in. And Manny the movie guy reviews this weekend's offerings and says his favorite flick is one you've never heard of. Busy show, let's meet the friends. She's the producer of this program and the host of her own show, Sweet Life. She's universally loved by everyone she meets, Brooke Peterson.
Well, I'm not even sure about that, Phil, because apparently, as popular as I may think I am, I better check myself. I could be completely wrong.
He has a 1 in 4 chance of winning it all, Chris Martin.
Place your bets, place your bets. The NFL's conference championships are Sunday, and the two games are both basically a coin flip.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a 5-star review. You're helping the show when you do that, because the folks over at iTunes read your comments when they're not in the hallway playing quarters. They notice your 5-star reviews, and they may... you ever play quarters? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but we might be talking about different types of quarters.
All right. Good. Fine. Let's get started with the show before iTunes does not feature us on their first page.
Your type of quarters is where you try to bounce the quarter into the cup, right?
My type of quarters is when you stand about 10 feet from a wall, and you flip the quarter, and whoever gets the quarter closest to the wall gets to keep all the quarters.
No.
Yours is what we call old school quarters.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's in an
office. Did you do that?
In an office where you can't have beer.
Was it before or after you guys played Tiddlywinks?
No. It was usually when all the clients went to sleep or whatever, and there was nothing to do. And then, hey, let's make some money. We're not making any commissions off of the clients. Let's make some money off of each other and play quarters. And then somebody walk away with a pocketful.
We try to bounce quarters into a cup, and then if you successfully do that, you're forced to drink whatever is in the cup.
Now, in the construction business, you probably had those red Solo cups handy in your office there, and were you pouring beer while you were operating heavy equipment?
Never.
Of course not.
Occasionally, really? Very long after a work day was over, you might celebrate with a light beer, but never during work.
A light beer,
I'm being honest also. Back in the day, back in the 70s and 80s, I heard stories of guys that, they drink on the job, but that stuff is long gone.
All right, let's get things rolling. Brooke, you have a story here that I think impacts just about everybody these days, including grandmas, because they're all using social media, and they all have followers and friends.
Mm-hmm. And people are often using social media these days to feel like they have a wider social circle and, you know, feel more connected and popular. How many Facebook friends do you think you have right now?
I know how many Phil has. He's maxed out.
Yeah, I'm somewhere near the max, yeah.
Maxed out? What is the max?
I think 5,000.
Well, I can tell you that on my birthday, there were some 500-plus people that said happy birthday to me.
Aww.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's nice. That's nice. And I went through and looked at the list, and I said, you know
what? Do you know any of them?
I don't know, like 90% of these people. I mean, it's nice that they said happy birthday to me. They know me, which it's gratifying to know that. It's humbling to know that many people said happy birthday. But by the same token, I went through there, and there were maybe 15 people outside of family who I actually remember meeting.
Well, that might be a little bit lower than average, but apparently... If you have 150 Facebook friends, you might be able to choose 4 of those people in a crisis.
Oh, most of us really close friends. Then close friends.
Yeah, and I think about it, and I have like a good probably 3, 4, maybe 5 people I know that when you know the stuff hits the fan, I can call them in a panic, maybe even at like midnight. If their phone is on, and you know, and cry to them and be okay. Whereas most of the time, people think they have this false sense of popularity and friendship on social media. And how many of those people do you really know? Apparently, most of us will also say we have about 15 people we can confide in. That even to me seems a little bit high, but I'm kind of weird. And people also say they have up to 50 friends who are considered close. I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean. Do you have 50 friends that you consider to be close friends?
Yeah, if I think about it outside of family, I mean, it depends what your definition of close friend is. For me, close friend is somebody that you talk to regularly, phone, text, whatever it is, and perhaps you do things together on a regular basis. And like after work or whatever it is, you say, hey, well, what are you doing tonight? Want to get together? I don't have anybody like that.
Well, that would be I think that would be the confide in list.
Yeah.
Right, Brooke?
Yes.
Those types of
so
people
too.
Would be the ones that you confide in. That's whittled down to 12 to 15 from what Brooke is saying. She's talking about 50 friends that you
50?
Could...
15.
Close?
50.
That seems really high to
close
me.
Friends. But close friends being somebody that... I consider close friends being somebody that if you saw them in the grocery store, you'd probably stop and have a quick conversation with them. Hey, how you been? How's
See,
the
that
kids?
To me falls under the casual friend,
yeah.
which apparently
yeah.
most people have about 150 of.
Yeah, the close friend would say, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. You want to meet me after for a couple of drinks?
Yes, I think so. And then apparently we have 500 acquaintances. That again, am I just antisocial? Is something wrong with me?
Well, no, you have that long booty call list, don't you?
The black book?
Yeah.
What? No.
You don't? I thought everybody had those. I don't have one of those. But
see, I am antisocial.
Chris, you have one of those, don't you?
Yeah, it's called Tinder.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the go-to people that, you know, no strings attached, that kind of thing. I mean, a guy like you probably has a hefty list like that, that you could just dial up and, hey, what's going on tonight? Netflix and chill? Yeah, okay, go.
Oh, right. Speaking of that, Netflix and chill since last Friday, I have heard that repeated like 5 times since then. I had never heard it until that day.
Yeah.
And then it's everywhere.
Right.
What's up with
that? It's like when somebody says, hey, have you seen the new Volkswagen Cockroach? No, I haven't. Oh, it's a cool car. And then from that day forward, you see 50 of them a day.
That happened with the new Mustang for me.
Did it?
Once somebody mentioned that new 2015, 2016 Mustang, I saw them everywhere.
The Volkswagen should come out with a cockroach, shouldn't they? They have a Beetle.
Oh, I'm sure it'll sell fantastic.
And it can't kill it. It'll just run forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Would survive a nuclear holocaust. Volkswagen Cockroach.
Okay, let's move on. It's clear we don't have any friends on a show called Phil Hewlett and Friends. Now, I would not, let alone friends, I would not give a hoverboard to one of my worst enemies. I mean, you're going to die riding one of those things one way or another. And we posted on our show fun page some time ago a compilation of people falling and hitting their heads while riding a hoverboard. And it seems like the whole nation is focused on these things, and it almost seems like they're about to get banned. What do you say, Brooke?
Well, apparently the hoverboards are kind of like the drones. Drones and hoverboards are everywhere right now. And so it's very popular, and a lot of hoverboards were given as gifts for Christmas. But up until as of now, there's been about 40 incidents is under investigation for these hoverboards basically exploding or catching fire because of the lithium ion batteries. And right now, because of all of this instability and safety concern, Amazon is the first company to offer full refunds on hoverboards, no questions asked, just to have them taken care of from people and taken off their hands.
Well, there's an opportunity. You see somebody at a park and their hoverboard's just sitting around, you know, just grab that sucker and then call Amazon. Hey, I'm going to return mine. Okay, no questions asked. Here's your $400. How much?
Interesting way your mind works, Phil Hewlett.
There's always a vacuum for opportunity if you're going to be, you know.
I'll tell you,
the entrepreneur.
If you did try to steal someone's hoverboard at the park, you're better off holding it underneath your arm and running away with it than you are getting on it and trying to speed away from them.
True.
Because they are slow and dangerous.
Yeah, slow and dangerous. All right.
And whatever you do, don't plug it in because it's going to explode.
Coming up, we are getting down to it. It's almost the end of the NFL season. And some questions are coming up. Is the NFL actually trying to sabotage the team that is more than likely going to win it once again? They're talking about, I'm not going to tell you who, but is the league playing favorites? Are they trying to make it harder for the perennial winner to win the Super Bowl this year? And we'll take a look at the final four teams and see who has the best shot. It could go any way this year. But if the NFL has their way, we have a feeling which way it's going to go. And we'll review that for you next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right. Four biggest states without any major pro sports teams.
Four biggest states.
Biggest in terms of population. So Alaska's not on the list here.
Okay.
Without a major pro sports team.
Oregon. They used to have the Portland Trailblazers.
They don't anymore?
Trailblazers.
Yeah. Maybe they do. Yeah,
they still do. They still have the Trailblazers. Okay, yeah.
I think they went back
to the Blazers.
No, okay, here they are. Virginia doesn't have a pro sports team. Mm-hmm. Alabama, South Carolina, and Kentucky.
Alabama does have a professional sports team.
What's that?
It's the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, yeah, that's some people would argue.
I think, 16 championships and however many years?
Overall, there are 24 of the 50 states that do not have a pro sports team. And that's because there just isn't enough population to support it. Now, some people think the NFL is trying to sabotage the New England Patriots this weekend by having a Broncos-friendly referee call the game. They point out that Denver is 7-0 in games called by this guy over the past 15 seasons. But New England is 10-5 in that span, and they won the only game that he called for them this year. So I don't know if there's any...
Sounds like something just to get people fired up.
Any weight to that, whether the fix is in, but we'll see. So that's two of the teams. Are they playing each other, New England and Denver?
New England and Denver are playing each other for the AFC divisional playoff game. So you've got Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. How many times have we said that over the last
Who's
decade?
Got the home field advantage?
The Denver Broncos do. It's going to be played in Denver.
And the referee likes them.
The referee likes them. Well, they have home field advantage, but get this. Las Vegas might not like them because Denver is a three-point dog. They're giving 3 points to New England if you're going to put money on this game.
I'll take those points. I mean, I'll take Denver.
You'll take Denver, yes, yeah. And take the points.
Yeah.
And if I were going to give anybody any advice, I would say the same thing. Denver, take the points. Denver has a really good defense and talented receivers and running backs that are going to help Peyton look good even though he's not that good.
Right. All right. He listens to this show, Chris.
Peyton does?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
sends
he's
me notes
cool,
all the
though.
Time.
He still still loves us. Let's see. The second game in the NFC is Cam Newton versus Carson Palmer. Have you heard of either of those two players?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. Those are the respective quarterbacks for the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to be playing at Carolina, who is favored by 3 points.
I take Arizona on that one. I think the Cardinals are going to the Super Bowl.
I'm with you, and if I was going to give advice, I would say the same thing. Take the Cardinals in the 3 points.
Yeah.
You're going to see Denver and Arizona in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Watch us both have that completely
I think that's
wrong.
What I'm saying. Denver and Arizona in the Super Bowl, and who wins that one? Denver.
It's going to both games are going to be a lot of fun to watch. I agree with you. Wouldn't it be great for Peyton Manning to win a Super Bowl and then retire? Please retire.
Yes.
I know you're listening.
Please.
Please. Hang it up, big guy.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. All right. So that's what's happening. That's what's going to do the deal. Did Mark Harmon used to play football? He was a football player, right?
I don't think so, Phil.
Yeah, he was.
He looks like a baseball player type to me.
No, he was a football player back in the day. Wasn't he a quarterback at SC or UCLA? One of those two.
Could be. Mike shaking his head, yes.
Yeah.
Mike knows stuff.
Well, he's on a TV show that I swear I've never seen, but it is highly popular. It's one of the top-rated shows in the country. It's on CBS. It's called NCIS. Have you ever seen that show?
Never.
Yes.
Not even once.
Yeah. Mark Harmon has topped the poll of America's favorite TV personalities for the first time. Ellen DeGeneres was number one in the same poll for the past 3 years, but she slips to number two, and Mark Harmon is number one now.
And Mark, I never hear Mark Harmon, there's no buzz about Mark Harmon. Nobody's talking about how cool or fun or interesting he is. He's an actor.
He's not a personality. He quietly delivers his task and dominates. That's all he's doing. He's dominating.
Handsome guy. He's a handsome guy too, right?
UCLA. UCLA, we've confirmed. Yeah, UCLA quarterback.
Cover of a magazine. Who else is on the list?
Number three, Jimmy Fallon for the second straight year.
That's a personality. That makes more sense.
Steve Harvey, who wished me a happy Easter on my birthday. Stephen Colbert is up from number seven. He's number five. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is down to number six, one slot. Blue Blood star Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck, at like 90 years old, is still one of America's favorite. Is he 90?
He's getting up there. I don't think 90. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
He's still pretty hot, though.
He's moving up the list. He was eight last year. He's seven this year. There's a tie between Jon Stewart and Tim Allen.
Jon Stewart's not on television.
Tim Allen?
No, he's not. Tim Allen, yeah, he's got a show.
He does have a show on Fridays. It's actually pretty funny, although very right wing.
Yeah, and
leaning.
And number 10 is a tie between Jerry Seinfeld and Oprah Winfrey.
Again, none of those last three people are on television.
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess they're on the internet.
Seinfeld has its own show, but it's not on like normal. It's like on some weird channel. It's really
not.
Funny,
it's though. On the internet. It's an internet.
He drives
show.
Around in the car with people.
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
It's actually really good.
You know, tell me, Brooke.
Yes.
About this dude who wants to have superhuman powers.
This guy, and you have to explain this to me. I will tell you the story if you can maybe explain it to me. But there's a guy in Wisconsin. Who is determined through self-infliction to find an antidote to snake venom. And in doing so, he has self-inflicted 160 poisonous snake bites on himself.
160?
160, and he survived.
From the same snake or a variety of snakes?
A variety. So far, there's been a lot, but there's a... The last couple have been the Black Mamba.
That's fatal.
Kobe Bryant bit him?
I'm not even sure what the Taipan is. I've even heard of that.
He's getting violent.
He owns rattlesnakes. He owns a water cobra. Apparently, he had two cobra snakes snake bites back to back and was in a coma and almost died from those. But he survived, and now he's feeling kind of invincible and indomitable. He says he's not going to stop doing this until there is a vaccine in the field or he dies. That's his goal. And his wife has left him.
How is he not dead already?
Yeah. Maybe
wait, how much is that guy's life insurance policy? He must be paying through the nose.
Yeah, I think so. You said his wife left him? Is that,
oh, yeah.
Is that because there's venom in his saliva?
But how does being bitten by snakes create an antidote for the population? Are they going to, like, draw his blood and is that the idea?
I don't know. You want to know what the most venomous snakes are?
Water moccasin, number one.
Rattlesnake, started from 10. Rattlesnake, death adder. Death adder's a good name, huh? Vipers.
Isn't that Cleopatra?
Philippine cobra. Tiger snake. Black mamba's number five. The taipan is number four. That's a scary-looking snake. The blue krait, K-R-A-I-T. Haven't even heard of that one before. It's striped. The eastern brown snake. And the number one most venomous snake in the world is the fierce snake or inland taipan. And it's kind of a brownish, like shoe. It looks like he'd make good shoes, frankly. A brown shoe leather looking snake with a darker brown face. It just looks like looks like a pile of dog poo, frankly, when it's all coiled up.
Well, only you, Phil.
100,000 people die every year from snake bites.
Yeah. So if you get the pooper scooper out and you reach for it, oh, it's a inland taipan. I'm dead. So
you're this guy.
He was bitten by a taipan, huh?
It doesn't specify which kind, but yeah, it says it most recently bitten by.
There were two taipans on the list of the most venomous snakes.
Yeah, I don't know how he's still alive. But so if he has venom in his body, in his blood, I guess you say his saliva.
Yeah.
Does that basically mean he is now a snake?
Ooh.
Means he's immune to the effects of the venom of snakes.
But according to Phil, if he kisses his wife, she might die from snake poison.
I don't think Phil knows that for sure.
No, I don't know
that
for sure.
I think he's actually just making that up.
Yeah.
Completely.
I am. I've just asked the assumption. But do you want to stick around if you're married to a guy who's got all that venom in his body?
No, that guy has a death wish, although we do have to pay respects to somebody that's willing to do that to their body for sake of helping others, right? I mean, this guy's a saint in some ways.
Is that what he's trying to do, or is he trying to be superhuman?
Sounds altruistic to me. Superhuman.
He's not going to stop doing this until the vaccine is in the field, or he dies.
All right.
See,
I think he's sewing up his superhuman snake man suit right now. You know, as we talk about him, he's coming
Harry
up with a
Potter
snake suit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to stop bullets, Phil. He just can't be bitten by snakes.
Yeah, but of all the things to get into your blood, there's some the three guys. No, were there three or a handful of guys? They're thieves. They're in Australia. They tried to siphon gas out of a bus. And they did this, you know, you put the hose in the tank and you suck on the hose till you get a little bit of gasoline in your mouth and you spit it out. You get the siphon started and you put the other...
Point the hose down, gravity does the rest.
Yeah. These guys, they put the hose in the wrong place. So instead of siphoning gas, they were siphoning from the bus's sewage tank.
Uh-huh.
So they got a mouthful of sewage.
Serves you right.
Yeah, it does. So that now, and their wives left them because they had, you know, sewage in their saliva.
Oh my God.
Government guidelines for mammograms have women scratching their heads or other parts of their bodies. The guidelines say don't get a mammogram until you're 50, but you say, great, I'll probably die of breast cancer by the time I'm 40. It's mammo madness, I tell you, and we'll get some guidance from an expert who has issues with the government guidance. He joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Earlier this week, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force... Wait, I had a hard time saying that, didn't I?
Sure did.
The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force issued final recommendations reaffirming their controversial position that mammogram screening should start at the age of 50. But they also said some women may benefit from a screening starting at the age of 40. We want to find out which women those are. I'm guessing that it's women who have a history in their family. So what's a woman to do? Joining us live is a fellow of the American Institute of Ultrasound in Medicine and the American College of Radiology and a member of the Society for Study of Breast Disease. He's also the owner of Flynn Broadcasting, which operates a boatload of radio and TV stations, which is interesting. Might have to have a subsequent conversation off the air with Dr. George Flynn, who joins us live. Dr. Flynn, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Phil, for letting me be here with you. And, you know, people say, well, how did you get into radio and how are you doing radio? I figured radio, radiology, you know, you could pronounce them in different ways. And so that's my joke of the day.
Yeah,
People get into it. But
and I bet a bunch of the folks that you have on the air are so transparent you could see their bones when they're talking. So that's,
You know, I've never used that one. Do you mind if I use that?
Yeah, you're welcome, sir.
Okay. No, I've become more and more concerned. I know I don't sound it, but I do have kids and grandkids, and I've been practicing medicine over, I hate to say it, 40 years. And people are being, the first way you change things is cause confusion. And that's what the United States Preventative Services Task Force has done. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Mammography started in the 50s. And it was higher radiation dose. We have improved mammography. We've improved the detection rate of breast cancer screening. We've decreased the radiation dose to very acceptable levels.
So that sounds to me like, okay, fine, go ahead and start getting them when you're 25 because it's not a big deal.
You should start early. In my practice, I see patients in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 80s, 90s. I see them all ages getting breast cancer.
And cancer doesn't wait till your 50th birthday.
No, it does not. Yeah. No. And it only makes sense to get a mammogram early to find disease when it's very small. You can do a much smaller operation, probably a lumpectomy, and you might be able to avoid having chemotherapy or radiation therapy.
So help me out help me understand why the task force came to this conclusion. Was it based on statistics for women who found cancerous cells in their breasts before the age of 50, or was it more of an actuarial cost-to-benefit analysis thing?
I believe you have seen through the smoke screen. the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force is funded by the government. And it is also, it has no members of the, there are physicians on there, but they're epidemiologists. In other words, they study the ways diseases go through a culture. They study those kind of things, but they have nobody on there that does breast cancer screening, no radiologists. They have no one that treats breast disease. They have no one that's really a cancer specialist. So what they're doing is they're going on papers and journal articles that were produced back in the 70s and 80s. And those did not have the outcomes that we're getting today. And so they're basing all of their findings on old data.
Wow.
That's a real problem.
And
it is. What they're saying is, you know, we've been years and years getting women to understand, start screening at 40, have a mammogram every year until, you know, you pass away. And there was an episode in our history where we say have a baseline by age 35. Now, that's what I advocate. Have a baseline by age 35, then have a mammogram annual screening at age 40 on through you pass away.
Now, what if you have a family history?
If you have a family history, start even earlier.
Yeah.
Because you're at high risk.
Now, is anybody stopping women from going in at the age of 30? That is to say, this guidance from the government, is it influencing insurance companies to not cover a mammogram before the age of 50?
That's exactly what it's doing. And they're not saying don't have a mammogram. They got out of that loophole. They put a loophole in there. They said, if you think you need one, go ahead and have one. We're just not going to pay for it.
Yeah. So if you're, now you're a radiologist. If I were to bring in my wife or one of my three daughters, and it would just cash and carry, what kind of a cost is there to the consumer in this situation
mammogram,
if they would just come in and buy a mammogram from?
They're anywhere from about $80 to $120.
Yeah. Now for a some folks that's prohibitive, but that's a reasonable price for
and
a procedure in medicine.
People can have mammograms without going to a primary care physician. You can go in for a screening mammogram anytime, anywhere you want.
Sometimes those trailers pull up in the parking lot of the Walmart. You can have your mammogram right in there. That's not a bad thing, is it?
It's not a bad thing. And
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
What they're saying with the US Preventative Services Task Force, which they're lobbying Congress. This is interesting because the U.S. Congress is that's the only medical test that they totally regulate. With the Mammography Quality Standards Act that they passed, they control mammography. It's not the FDA. It's not anybody, but the U.S. Congress controls this.
Yeah.
And what the Preventative Services Task Force is saying, okay, we promised with the Affordable Health Care Act we'd give you screenings.
Yeah.
But we're saying you really don't need a screening until you're 50, and you only need it every 2 years. So if you get a little cancer, let it grow a couple of years, and then we'll see if we can't do something about it.
Now,
I'm being tongue-in-cheek.
I understand that, because for women, they don't want any kind of cancer to grow for more than a couple of weeks. And a mammogram is just a picture of a moment in time. You could be cancer-free today, but then something could hit you up in a couple of weeks.
And you can find them so much earlier. Now, you can find them when they're just, it's called ductal carcinoma in situ, and it means it's totally localized. It hadn't spread anywhere. You've got it. You just go in and you take that little area out, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You're done.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is women do not want to have a mammogram. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of the test. They're afraid of the discomfort, which is absolutely magnified online and everything. It is not a difficult test.
Yeah.
I was terrified to have my first.
Right. And women don't want to have them. And any reason they say, you know, a lady that's 40, 41, she said, oh, they say it's 50 now. I can wait.
Yeah.
I can put it off. And I'm saying that's the worst thing we can do, because knowledge will cure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and as a matter of fact, when we started screening at age 40, the death rate from breast cancer dropped 30%. So we are curing.
Yes.
Having breast cancer is not a death sentence. It is an opportunity to cure you from this disease, and it works.
Yeah. So the lesson that we've learned today is, ladies, starting at your 25th birthday or so, just set aside some money in a coffee can until you get it up to about $100, and then find a provider or a clinic or someplace where you can do the cash and carry thing if your insurance is not going to cover you till your 50th birthday. And never mind the guidance from the government. Get your breasts looked at, get the mammogram, and live to your 50th birthday so you can enjoy the insurance company covering the mammogram.
We're lobbying Congress. Screen at 40. That's the website, and all you've got to do is come to screen, S-C-R-E-E-N, the word at, A-T, the number 40.com, put in your name and email address, and I will take care of the rest.
Is that a petition, essentially?
That is a petition to Congress to keep it screening at 40.
Screen at 40.com. All right, we're going to link to that on our links page. And
all you've got to do is come there, put in your name and email address. I'll take care of the rest.
Fantastic. Dr. Flynn, you are a savior for women, and we appreciate you coming on the program. And again, it's screen at 40.com, S-C-R-E-E-N. And thank you, sir. Let's hope that what you say ends up being the rule of the land.
And if you care about your mother, your wife, your kids, your daughters, your sister, do this for them.
Yes. Thank you, sir. That's well said. And
thank you.
We'll have you on again one of these days soon,
terrific,
sir. Thank
you. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. Dr. George Flynn. Now, what does your handwriting say about you? It says, man, your handwriting is awful. Doesn't it?
I can't even read that.
But beyond that, what does it say about your personality, your career potential, your intelligence? Well, a handwriting analysis expert, one of the world's foremost experts, joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. January 23rd is National Handwriting Day, and so to celebrate, we're joined live by a handwriting analysis expert, the author of the book Handwriting Secrets Revealed, the book on handwriting analysis. It's available right now in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. You should go get it. He's one of the world's leading handwriting authorities. David Grayson, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, even better now that you're here, sir. Now, people call you Doc. Am I allowed to call you that?
You sure can.
All right, Doc. What can you tell about a person by looking at their handwriting?
Well, you can tell a lot about their personality, how they react to things, where they set their goals, whether they concentrate or introvert, extrovert. Just there's 144 different traits that you can discover in somebody's handwriting.
Now, our handwriting style changes over time, does it not?
Yes, it does. Especially, it can change over a long period of time, like from the time you learned to write to junior high school, college, and beyond, but can also change within a day or a couple days.
And do you find that as your handwriting changes, it coincides with changes in your personality?
Correct. And it's really, well, we think of it as brain writing. What affects the brain shows in the handwriting. So that's why the handwriting might change. If you're in a good mood, it's going to show one way. If you're in a frustrated mood or depressed or something, it's going to show another way.
Yeah. All right. Now, if you're listening to my voice, you might want to do what we did and get a piece of paper and a pen and just jot down the phrase, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. And if I'm not mistaken, that phrase includes every letter in the alphabet. What we did, Brooke and Chris and I, we wrote that sentence and shot it off to Doc here, who had a look at it. Am I correct, sir? Have you taken a look at our writing samples?
I sure have. And do you remember in typing class, typing the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Sure. And there was another one. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their countrymen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I used to type that real fast.
Well, very good.
What about the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane for something
and there's
different?
There's no Z in that other one.
Yeah, no Z. Now, we sent those off to you. You had a look at it, and let's see what you found about our personalities. And if you don't mind, the one that we sent to you the latest was from Chris.
That's
so you
correct.
Had the shortest amount of time to look at that, which may be appropriate. So why don't we start with
that
one?
And it tells you right away that I'm a procrastinator.
I wasn't sure how to do it. I saw the email.
Yeah, what'd you learn about Chris by looking at his...
The three of you work well together. You all have things that complement and conflict with each other, so that's good. But in Chris's, he likes to do things his own way. He's got his own method of doing things.
Yeah.
He can get very enthusiastic over something. He would be good at taking things apart and putting things together, and he works well with his hands, whether it's building things, fixing things, or those kinds of things.
How about that? That is absolutely dead on, isn't it, Chris?
He pretty much nailed me, yeah.
Now, when looking at...
Any other positive traits you want to tell me while we're here? Because yeah. It sure does feel good.
No, but when looking at the way he wrote, and he printed, he did not use cursive.
Yeah, most of you printed, although you did a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But, Chris, he really underestimates his talents. He could go a lot further if he just kind of gets so far that he's not sure of himself.
And it's, don't tell him this stuff. We're trying to keep him in his place.
But what are you looking at that tells you that?
His writing is very firm and strong, and is he sure of what he wants to do? But when he gets close to something, he just kind of a little fearful and backs off. If he just kind of pat himself on the back a little bit more, or give himself more confidence, that would be good.
Now, when you look at the writing, and Brooke asked the question, I don't know if you heard it, but what do you look for specifically? I'm looking at the Q in quick, and it looks like a little lazy figure eight. And then the word lazy, there's a line through the middle of the Z, which indicates that maybe he has some European roots to me, because he wants to say Z instead of Z. Is that right?
It could be European, or it could be math.
Oh.
Because oftentimes a mathematician will put a line through a seven, to make sure they know it's a 7 and not a 1, right? And they'll put a slash through a 0 so they know it's a 0 and not the letter O.
Yeah. Now, is that somebody who just is a little anal about things and wants to make sure people know exactly what they're saying?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, I'm not bad at this.
Does that mean anything?
Oh, no dot on the I. Yeah, what does that mean?
That means I'm in a hurry. And it's on the word quick. Go figure.
You're correct. He doesn't do it on the Chris in his name either when he prints it. For a lot of people, especially when they print, to go back and dot that is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Their mind, when they print, it's usually a sharp mind, a quick mind.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and dot an I or even the cross a T sometimes.
Yeah.
Very frustrating. That's why often when they print, they'll make a capital T instead of a lowercase T. That way they don't have to go back and cross it.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's go to Brooke now, and I'm looking at hers, and she wrote it
three times. The same.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what the purpose of that was, Brooke, but...
I can tell you.
Why'd you write it three times?
Pardon?
She also has a great a flow of ideas all the time. Great imagination. She would make an excellent writer. Because ideas and thoughts just come into her mind. Those are where, if you look at the letter F, they all look like figure eights.
Yes.
That's the ability to come up with ideas and thoughts and a little bit different. She's a good one to get ideas for the program because she's going to follow through and come up with something maybe a little bit out of the ordinary.
How about that? See, I think you nailed it again. And Brooke, I've always considered, always thought that you might write a book someday. I know.
Fantastic.
you've got that kind of
she has that talent. I mean, yeah. That's the figure eight, plus the O's are closed, so that means she probably isn't going to get up and give a talk on it, yeah. But she could write on it and do it that way.
Now I'm really worried now, Doc, that you're going to come to the conclusion that my life is a complete mess, because when you look at my sample it's a holy cow. This guy better only use typing and text rather than using a pen and writing.
Right, only use crayons.
Yeah, because I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, how did my writing get so bad? It's just terrible.
First of all, your preference is the print, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And at one time, I used to be real good at that, kind of like a cartoonist would write in a word bubble. That's the kind of print I used to do. But I don't anymore. It just looks bad.
No, but your name doesn't look bad when you printed your name. It's better than the rest. So you're kind of clear on your name. But notice that the writing goes upward. That's optimism. You're always kind of looking at the bright side of things.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't stay straight on a line. It moves upward.
Correct. Yeah. You're kind of looking up all the time. Also, because the way you print, you don't like to repeat things. You know, you say it once and you want it done. So you're not necessarily a nagger, but you get frustrated when somebody doesn't follow through because you expect them to.
That is true about me.
Now, you have a lot of imagination, but a little bit different than Brooks. Brooks's imagination is to come up with a unique idea, a unique hook, a different kind of situation. But you take it and you run with that idea. Maybe the ideas don't pop up in your mind, but you could take those ideas and really embellish them. Those are the big loops in the lower part of the Y's and the G's.
Oh, all right. All right, very good. Now, overall, when you look at us collectively, we're a good group. Is that right? We should stick together?
We work well together. I would want you to take care of the check because you're more concerned about details than Brooke or Chris.
There you go. And, Doc, I have another quick question. When you analyze somebody's handwriting like mine and you see that maybe they have trouble fulfilling their potential, do you then give advice about what that person should do to achieve that thing?
Yes, I do. Part of the reason I can do it is because I have a degree in counseling plus psychology.
Oh.
I can do that. But we also have what's called graphotherapy, where you can help the person change some things in their writing to change their personality. Just as the brain controls the hand can also, in reverse, the same neural pathways go back to the brain, so you can change that somewhat.
One quick question. We're almost out of time here. Schools have stopped teaching cursive. Are you concerned, sir, that you might lose a great deal of business because of that?
Well, it's not the idea of losing business. I'm kind of concerned for the students.
Oh.
Because, you know, there's five states now in the last 2 years that have put handwriting required it back into the curriculum because they're finding that the eye-hand coordination is not as good in the youngsters now. And when they have them learn cursive or printing, that eye-hand coordination improves.
Handwriting Secrets Revealed, the book on handwriting analysis. Get it. It's in the store at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Dave Grayson, a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Oh, great to speak with you guys. I wish you the best of luck.
I'll write you later, sir. Thank you. That's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including our movie guy, our travel guy, and a guy in his underwear who did the impossible. That and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we're working on this hour, what do you think? Would you take a cruise considering El Nino? Terrorism? You don't know what's going to be waiting for you out there in those deep, dark, blue waters. And also, there's a new planet out there. What should we call it? And is it an evil planet? A Death Star with designs on destroying the Earth? And we have a whole lot more to talk about. I just don't want to go into it right now because there's so many things. Brooke is here. Chris is here. I'm Phil. Thanks for tuning in to the program. We love it when you listen and tell your friends and subscribe to the program, please. That's the best way you'll never miss a single episode. The subscribe button is on the How to Listen page and at the top of every page at philhewlettandfriends.com. All right, so Brooke, we'll start with you because there is a man who perhaps is, among the rest of us men, not only making us look bad, he perhaps is the only real superhero out there. Will you tell us about Underwear Man?
This is something straight out of Hollywood. Okay, so there's this guy, 25 years old, out of Norway, a town I cannot pronounce, Randesund or something like that, southern Norway,
yes.
Who one night woke up in the middle of the night listening to the sound of his car being stolen.
Uh-oh.
And somehow or another, out of a deep sleep, he jumps out of bed, runs outside in 17 degrees below zero weather, in his boxers, jumps on the back of his car, and hangs on for 3 miles with the car going 60 miles an hour until he's able to shatter the back windshield with his knee.
Whoa!
Get inside, wrestle the driver into like a safety barrier on a bridge, of all places.
Yeah, an icy bridge.
And saves the car, I guess.
What kind of car was this?
It doesn't even say after all that. It doesn't say what kind of
car. It was a Pinto, Phil.
A Pinto?
Yeah.
A gold-plated Pinto, I hope.
I hope it was an El Camino, personally.
Well, now, wait a minute. It's minus 17. You know, when it gets to, like, minus 3 in various parts of this country, which I think it is this week because of the huge storms that we're having, and people go out there on the highway, and if they go past, like, 20 miles per hour, it's slip and slide time, and everybody's in the ditch. This guy was driving 60?
It says 60 miles an hour. Maybe in Norway they're just used to it.
Well, that's 100 kilometers per hour, isn't it? He's motoring.
That is moving, yeah. And in that frigid temperature for this guy to hang on, he is some sort of superhero.
3 miles in his boxers.
He's got the knee kick to, he shattered the rear window.
To get inside. He shattered with his knee he's hanging on to the back of his car.
I want the film or the video of this.
I know. Right? I have a hard time really believing it myself, actually.
Yeah. All right. Now, to this day, I have not even visited the website, let alone downloaded the app. And not that I ever need to, perhaps just for research. But Tinder keeps coming back in the news. And Chris, real quick, just explain to us what Tinder is.
Tinder is a dating website application where people upload their pictures and profiles, and then you swipe one direction on the other or the other based on whether or not you would like to meet them and date them.
Now, by date, you mean what?
By date, I mean
chill.
Yeah, get together and
this is speed dating.
Neck.
Hurry up and get right into bed.
Get to some necking.
Tinder is for people who are looking for a little nookie right now.
Now. As with anything, there are exceptions to the rule, and I do believe that there are many people who have met the loves of their life on Tinder and have gone on to get married and have children and all of that.
Because they want to marry people that are good in bed.
Well, you can't tell that from Tinder.
All right, so Brooke, you've been following the exploits and evolution of Tinder.
Oh, yes.
And there is a new feature that is, I guess it was a fait accompli that this was going to happen. But tell us about the new feature at Tinder.
Well, you know, I don't think you can find customer service as good as this, but Tinder has now added an STD and HIV testing clinic locator right there on its little website.
Oh.
How convenient.
So convenient. So helpful.
Now,
apparently.
It's you swipe right on somebody and you know you're going to meet, and so it's up to you to go to the STD clinic finder.
Well, that's probably, you go to the STD clinic finder because the one on the other end says, have you had a checkup?
Oh,
can I see your paperwork?
Oh, that makes sense. So
right.
Now in your profile, you'd say, okay, and it'll say you've
last time checked out.
Yeah, 50 hours ago. Oh.
I'm not even sure if it's that necessary. I don't know. I'm not even sure if it's that cool, actually. It looks like here it's basically just letting people compare clinics and doctors and providers, and also lets users receive their test results. But I'm not sure if it's necessarily interactive with other people. And, you know, I don't know. That's an interesting point, though. That'd be better if it did that.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can swipe on the clinic, you know, based on whether you like it or not. Like, nope, swipe left. I don't like that clinic. Swipe left. I don't like that one. Oh, look at that one. Swipe right.
Yeah.
We got a winner. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. But, I mean, apparently, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation had this big campaign last year, basically calling out Tinder and Grindr and associating them with rise in STDs. And so they have sort of kind of railroaded Tinder into doing something like this just to get their names off of the billboards.
Grindr. What is that? Is that?
That's a whole
That's like the gay version of Tinder.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Grindr.
Apparently a lot more promiscuous than Tinder.
It sounds,
but probably lower numbers of
people.
Just
the name. I mean, why don't they just call it Humper?
It's Grindr. Become a synonym for that.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Chris, you follow science, you follow space and our discoveries and all of that. And the biggest discovery this week, of course, is Pluto must really be pissed off at this stage of the game. Mm. But tell us about what has been discovered out there in space. It's in our solar system, right?
That's right. Researchers at the California Institute of Technology have found evidence in the outer solar system that could be a real ninth planet that would replace our rejected solar family member, Pluto.
Oh.
Poor guy. Aptly named Planet Nine, it has a mass about 10 times the size of planet Earth, and it is so far away. It is so far on the outskirts of our solar system. They say it would take like 20,000 years for this planet to make one full orbit around the sun.
Wow. So if you live on that planet, you're probably only 1 year old.
That's right, although I'm not sure if that... Is that how it works? It's our year is based on how many days it takes to make one full orbit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess that does make sense. Yes, you would be 1 year old. You'd be 1 year. Pluto got the boot in 2006, by the way, for being too small, which this planet obviously is not.
So discriminatory.
10 times the size of Earth.
And how come it took us so long to find this planet if it's so huge?
Well, because it's so far out there, for one, and also it's not as well lit because it's so far away. But scientists are very excited because they say there may even be more planets out there that we haven't discovered yet.
And we're just getting better at seeing things.
That's right. We're getting better at seeing what's out there and different forms of being able to see what's out there, different
Maybe
technologies.
It's actually like a Death Star.
Yeah. There's some word that this planet is actually not just orbiting, but getting closer to Earth.
Not just this one. Yeah, there are conspiracy theorists who believe that there are large objects out there in space that could be considered planets moving closer and closer to Earth, this being one of them.
Death stars.
And that's why we couldn't see it before, because it's actually getting closer and could mean imminent doom for Earth and all its inhabitants.
Yeah, well, it's not happening in our lifetime.
Right. No, it'd be some thousands of years. Forget it. It's like your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren's problem.
Yeah. Right, right.
They're tough luck.
Sheesh. Okay. Hey, have you ever been on a cruise?
Yes.
You have?
No.
Awesome.
I haven't.
Yeah, I have. Our executive producer, Mike Stark, is a cruising fool. He goes at least once a year. Is that right? Or you go twice a year?
At least once a year.
At least once a year. But the travel environment has changed of late. Outside forces could impact your decision to hop on a big boat and visit foreign shores. And our travel guy measures your concern when he joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Time to talk travel with our travel guy, Gary Warner, who joins us live now. Hey, Gary.
How you doing, Phil?
Excellent, thanks. And we're talking cruises today, aren't we?
We're talking cruises today. It's that time of year when a lot of people start looking at cruises for the spring and summer and fall. And you can get good prices this time of year. It's a slow season for sales.
Now, before we get into any concerns people may have about cruising, some of the outside forces that would be taken into consideration, let me ask you this question. Why cruise instead of visiting the various cities around the world the traditional way, by flying or driving or taking a train and then booking a hotel?
Well, I actually prefer the latter, Phil. I'm more of a traveler type than a cruise type. Some of the cruises I have taken that I was glad I took, for example, was one to the Black Sea, which was an area I had never been to. I didn't know much about getting around. I was able to visit five countries over the course of about 7 days and get a little taste. And I know where I want to go back to, and I also know where I don't want to go back to. And, for example, I was able to visit places like Odessa and Sebastopol, which are in war zones now, but I got a brief stop in Bulgaria, but I also saw Turkey and Greece. And so if you want just sort of like a little nibble of a lot of different places, it's a good way to go.
And the opposite of nibble is gorge, because that's the kind of eating you'll be doing on the ship while you're cruising.
Yeah, I mean, all the ships are basically moving towards having more and more amenities. Especially the ships that are operating on the big routes in the Caribbean and in Europe. You're seeing these ever larger ships. In June, Royal Caribbean's going to launch something called the Harmony of the Seas, which is another one of these, office buildings or apartment blocks, that float. And it's so large that I think it's almost 5,800 passengers it can hold.
And there are only so many ports they could pull into, because there are no docks made for them.
Right. These ships have a tendency to do the Caribbean routes to the main, those 3 and 4 days out of Miami, where you go to the Bahamas and you go to, they're so big they have neighborhoods. Central Park and Boardwalk, and everybody's adding, craft beer bars and wine bars, and more and more rides. And
of course, the food is all included, most of it. But then, if you're going to have those craft beers, you're going to buy some alcohol on the ship, then that's going to come out of your pocket.
And that's something that people have to be very aware of, is that that the price. The base price gives you the room and usually the base meals. But if you want to do anything like have alcohol or eat at one of the specialty restaurants, which are more and more a big thing, then that's going to cost you. The shops are going to cost you. The land excursions, unless you work them in as a part of a deal, are going to cost you.
Yeah.
And so, that's something to factor in on your price.
And book those excursions early, because they get sold out, don't they?
Some of them do, yeah. But I think the ships are getting better and better at not having people get disappointed. In fact, I think the problem at some of them are is that everybody piles onto the same short trips, and then the poor operator who's going someplace that somebody doesn't want, some crafts festival doesn't get anybody. But
yeah, see, my wife and I, we went to the Caribbean on Princess, and we. Wanted to take one of those mini submarines and take a look at the
very popular.
Yeah, they're off of Grand Cayman to look at some of the old pirate ships that are wrecked down there, and it's supposed to be spectacular. But that was sold out, so instead we got to snorkel. And when we were down there, an angelfish took a chunk out of my wife's arm.
And,
and so that's our big memory from the trip, that she got attacked by an angelfish.
Snorkeling is dangerous. I got a tip of my finger taken off by a parrotfish in Tahiti. So, I went swimming with the sharks, and the sharks didn't do anything.
Yeah, the little colorful fish.
Yeah, but this little colorful fish, and I was right by the dock where people would drop bread.
Yeah.
So my little white finger floating along, this parrotfish said, "Bread!"
Yeah.
So anyway.
And you said, get in my aquarium.
the submarine ride is an exception, and those are becoming more and more popular and at more and more destinations. That's a limited thing. The shore excursions, usually they can just add on an extra bus or something like that, but they can't add on an extra submarine.
Gotcha.
So you are correct on something.
Now, let's talk about this, Gary. What are some of the things that could impact our decision to book a cruise these days?
Well, I think that there's some really good deals right now because of some things that are happening. There's low fuel prices right now because, just like at the pump, the gas prices are down. Fuel prices are down across the board. Combine that with that some of the stocks for like the big lines, like Royal Caribbean and for Carnival owns just about every cruise line out there, Cunard, All in America, Princess. You know, they don't brand them as Carnival, but they're all part of Carnival Corporation. Carnival's got short-term stock problems, but basically they need money, they need cash, they need liquidity. Prices are low, so there's some good deals out there right now. And I think that the best thing to do, my advice to people is always take either a cruise at the shoulder season, which is, you know, there's basically the off season and then the high season, and then there's a shoulder season that's sort of in between. Take it at the end of the shoulder season in the spring or the beginning of the shoulder season in the fall. This is assuming that you're taking a summer cruise, or early in the summer season in the high season. I especially think that for the Caribbean, Baja in that area, late spring, early summer, before the kids get out, you can get some good deals. You're not going to run into the hurricane weather for the most part, but we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Well, hurricane season, I mean, right now it seems like the waters are churning, but here's add El Nino to this. Gary.
Right. That's what I was going to say, is that part of the problem is the old plans of, you know, looking at, you know, when the hurricane season is and things like that in the Caribbean, don't really fit. It used to be, you know, of course you could get a October or November cruise for a great deal. I mean, not October or November, but like a September October deal in the Caribbean or down to Baja. Because it was hurricane season, and right there in the small print was that the captain has the option of not going someplace. We've talked about this before, where people book these Cabo cruises and then end up going to Ensenada and Catalina and not getting their money back, maybe getting a voucher for $150 for another future cruise, you know.
Right, right.
All that's out the window right now. I mean, Royal Caribbean had some real problems with some of its new cruises in China because typhoons hit when they weren't supposed to hit.
Yeah.
And that means the ship has to get out of there or it has to skip, you know, its itinerary. And you get a lot of unhappy people, not only their wallet, but their stomachs. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because if it doesn't matter how big or small the ship is, it's going to rock and it's going to smell like vomit when you're out there walking around on the deck. Now, let me ask you this. Just about any place you look at on the itineraries, you know, maybe not Alaska, maybe not so much the Caribbean, but you look at some of the European ports and the Middle Eastern ports and some of the other places where these cruises take you, and you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to get off of that boat because there's a lot of terrorist activity going on these days.
Right, but I think that, you know, one of the things that's one of the areas where I think that if it's sort of a borderline situation, it's a good way to go because these ships, these companies, these captains are not going to put people in the line of danger. I was on the Cunard's Queen Elizabeth, and the captain on the previous trip had this is when we were going through the Black Sea, was doing one that stopped in Egypt, and they were supposed to go to Alexandria and have a port stop there. And this was when the Islamic Brotherhood was in the government, and they were basically sort of saying, to their people, you know, it's not so bad to protest, you know, these Westerners coming in and things like that. And so the captain just canceled, going to Alexandria. But at the same time, when I was going, you know, we went to areas in Turkey. We went to areas in Bulgaria. Certainly that I think that a stop in a cruise ship, which has security, is going to be better. You go back to that cruise ship every night. Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about security, that's better than staying in town.
Gary, we have 30 seconds. Can a typical cruise ship repel an armed attack?
Yes.
Really?
They can. Usually using non-violent ways. They're so huge, first of all, that the ability of anybody to get aboard, like in the Achille Lauro days, is tough. But they use these sound and other ways. They don't like to talk about it. But every cruise line knows what to do. Just this week, Royal Caribbean, I know the clock's running, but Royal Caribbean was going into its spot in Haiti. They have a little peninsula that they've cut off from Haiti. Haitian protesters came out. The ship just turned around and went on to the next spot.
Gary, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guy.
Manny the Movie Guy is next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a guy who is gracious enough to include this program on his very full dance card. Here with his dancing shoes on, it's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. My dance card is filling up, Mr. Phil.
It's that time of year, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. All right. And we have a lot of movies to look at this weekend. And let's see. We have comedy. We have horror. We have science fiction. And we have something I've never heard of. Let's start with the horror movie. It's a show called The Boy.
That's right. Well, like I told you before, and I've been telling this to everyone willing to listen, January is considered a dumping ground of Hollywood for movies they generally don't believe in, like this weekend. Let's start with The Boy, for example.
Yeah.
The Boy was not shown to critics. And what are they trying to hide?
Yeah.
It wasn't shown in advance. But this is what we know. The Boy is a life-size doll terrorizing the nanny, played by Lauren Cohen, Maggie, from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
She's an American trying to escape her abusive boyfriend, so she goes to the British countryside, only to be abused by a demon doll named Brahms. No wonder he's upset with a name like that.
Well, now Chucky must have a thing or two to say about this.
That's right. Or Annabelle.
Oh, Annabelle.
That's right. This is a B-movie that may one day be a bad movie we love. One day, maybe.
All right. So instead of The Boy, maybe we should call it Oh Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, now De Niro is back, and he's good friends with Zac Efron, and that's a weird pairing for Dirty Grandpa.
That's right. It's another attempt of De Niro to be funny. This time, it's for Dirty Grandpa. Zac Efron is the straight guy, and Robert De Niro is the wacky one. He's a Dirty Grandpa of the title. A bit cringeworthy, maybe, but Grandma just died, so Grandpa decides to go to Daytona for spring break along with his straight-laced grandson.
Greg, he's finally free to go out and mingle with the babes, huh?
That's right. Here's the problem with the film. You can predict this movie a mile away, right from the very beginning. But the main cast is game. De Niro seems to be having a great time, and Efron is always fun. But their efforts are better served in a much, much better movie.
Yeah, I like De Niro when he's serious, when he's playing a
Ryan, I missed that
dramatic role.
Why is he doing this movie? It sounds ridiculous.
Late life crisis.
Well, you know what? Last year, though, he had a movie called The Intern, and I enjoyed that. That was a sweet movie with Anne Hathaway.
I remember you liked that, and I thought, why in the world would I even consider seeing that movie? First of all, Anne Hathaway's in there, and she got a Oscar nomination for a song.
No, she won an Oscar.
She won an Oscar for singing a song and crying and getting a little snot while she was crying. And she kept singing.
And I love her there.
And that's all she did, and she got an Oscar for that. Hey,
Can you do that, Phil?
No, I can't. But, all right, fine. You made your point. Now, here's the movie that seems the most compelling to me. It's a science fiction thing. It's about when the aliens take over and all is lost except... for the fact that, I don't know, Liev Schreiber or Chloe Moretz might be able to save the world. It's The Fifth Wave.
That's right. That's another young adult dystopian movie with The Chosen One to save the world. This one, The Chosen One, is played by Chloe Grace Moretz, of course, who I love. And this one is based on Rick Yancey's novel. Like what you said, the premise involves aliens invading Earth and unleashing four waves of deadly attacks. The first wave, disabling our electricity and technology. Yep, no more Facebook.
No.
That's probably the only wave you'd actually need to end this planet.
Yeah, because people would just kill themselves. Yes.
Exactly. That's all we need. The second wave is massive tsunami. The third is pestilence, like the bird virus. Over 300 billion birds, mind you.
Ew.
The fourth is the silencer, killing or silencing the rest of the survivors. And the fifth wave is a group of highly trained child soldiers aiming to finish the job. The problem is, by the time you probably reach the fifth wave, you probably won't care.
Yeah.
The premise is intriguing, but it didn't really go anywhere. The only saving grace is Chloe Grace Moretz, but even she can't lift the massive failure of this film.
All right, three movies that more or less suck. What are you going to look at this weekend?
My pick of the week, really, it's a movie called 45 Years.
What?
Listen to me. There's a reason why the Academy and Hollywood are praising the great Charlotte Rampling. She's spellbinding in her recently announced Oscar-nominated role as a woman who's about to celebrate her 45th wedding anniversary with her husband, the equally great Tom Courtney. Loneliness and the disintegration of marriage are at the heart of 45 Years. But be aware, though, the movie unfolds slowly, but you will be paid handsomely with a resonant story that will haunt you long after the end. I'm still thinking about the film.
Ooh. All right, well, that's a resounding thumbs up for this movie. How many kisses?
You know, January is a dumping ground. It's also a preparation for the Oscars, which is coming out next week.
And Manny, how many kisses for 45 years?
Three and a half.
Three and a half?
Thank you.
That is high praise, because you only go to four, don't you? And I believe the only movie you've given four kisses to in recent memory is Spy. Is that correct?
No. I actually gave Inside Out. Inside Out, Mad Max, Fury Road, Spotlight, all those films.
Did you give four kisses to Spy?
No, three and a half.
All right, okay. ManyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit his website, look at his videos, and love him, because the rest of the world does. And we're
better. Yeah, that's right. And next week we'll talk about Kung Fu Panda 3. Yep, another Kung Fu Panda movie. And The Finest Hours, which, incidentally, I interviewed the cast, and you can find them all on ManyTheMovieGuy.com.
Lovely. Great to talk to you again, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, there he goes. Oh, my gosh. See, don't you feel like going to see a movie after talking to him? 45 years, never even heard of that one. Didn't even know it was out.
It's going to be in theaters?
I want to see Marathon right now.
What do you want to see? What? Uh-oh, we lost her.
Me? No, I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. What did you say you wanted to see?
No, I said I'm on a movie marathon right now trying to see everything before the Oscars happen.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yes.
All right, well.
I'm obsessed.
So far, all I've seen is The Revenant. I got a bunch.
Oh, I heard that's like really, really, really hard to watch. I'm scared to see it, actually.
Oh, you'll
I'm
be
really
fine.
Nervous.
You'll be fine. I was worried, too, and I thought, you know.
5 million hours.
Then I cried like a baby.
I'd love to see that.
All right, question for you. Now, you're driving along the road, and you're hungry, and there are no fast food joints. And there it is, the side of the road, a deer that got hit by a car or something. It's just laying there dead. It's decision time. What do you choose to do? Wait till you hear what a restaurant owner chose to do next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, Visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're going to talk roadkill in a minute. Delicious roadkill in just a moment. But 69% of people say their body betrays them at least once a month. And does something humiliating.
You mean that's the percentage of women, right?
No, it's people. 69% of people say their body does something humiliating in public. Here are the top 10 things our bodies do to humiliate us. Getting so swampy in the butt that it soaks through your pants. You see that a lot, people walking out of the gym, and they got that just little that wet crack thing going on.
Not me, because I shower before I leave the gym.
But that's the gym. You're sweating.
I'm one of those guys.
Swamp butt. next is sneezing, and a little snot comes out.
Yep.
While people are watching.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You just wipe it into your
pants.
Sneezing
with a mouthful of food is much more embarrassing, though.
A few extra drops of pee that get on your pants.
That happens.
You know, sometimes, and ladies, you have it easy because depending on which kind of stand-up latrine it is that they've installed at the place, there are some of them where there's just no way for the stream to go where it's not going to bounce back onto your pant legs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And you could
That's
walk
awful.
Out with like a whole sprinkler spray on your pant legs and people think you've got a problem. But no, it was the plumbing.
That's why you have to really respect the company that put the little dot or like the little bee at the perfect spot at the bottom of the porcelain.
Yes.
Because that's the spot that will not cause splashback.
The pee bee.
What are you talking about?
There's a little bee. They actually put a little bumblebee at a perfect spot in the urinal and you aim for the bee and then it prevents splashing.
See, ladies, you don't know this.
You think we cannot aim.
We are expert aimers. It's the physiology or whatever of the stream. First of all, if you slow down the speed of the video of the urine coming out of its hole, and you look at it, it's not a perfect stream. There are all kinds of like rogue,
you know, right? Yeah, droplets of water
coming off of of liquid coming off the side, and so no matter how good you are at aiming, and if you're peeing into a sump of water in a typical toilet, as the stream hits the water, droplets of water come up and out of the bowl.
Splash back.
And land on the floor. They come completely out of the toilet and land on the floor. And ladies don't understand this. They just say, you have an aiming problem, sir. You are the worst. You're the sloppiest peer in the world. Get in there and clean that toilet. Well, I just want ladies to understand that there's a whole thing going on here that you just don't realize. And you have it easy.
Thank you for the education.
And I'll put the seat down for you in exchange.
I've got to go on some investigation looking for this bee. Now, I've never seen this bee.
Back on the you just walk right into a public restroom where it says men and see what happens.
No problem. Cool.
Now, the next on the list is smelly feet. And what are you going to do? You're hours away from going home and changing your shoes and socks out and washing
your
feet.
And even that's probably not going to help. I mean, wash your feet.
Right. Having food stuck in your teeth, and often you don't realize it until you get
That's the worst. I hate that.
Again, we were talking about groups of friends earlier.
Yeah.
That's the 10 to 15 people in your life that'll say, hey, bud, you got a little something.
And if they don't say that and you find it out on your own when you go to the bathroom 2 hours later,
you realize they are not a good friend.
You need new friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Mucus dripping from your nose.
Ooh.
We already did that one.
Burping loudly, inadvertently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just it comes up.
Well, it's one worse than burping.
Yeah. Bad breath. You often don't realize it, but people, you know, they'll stand like 2 feet away from you when you're talking. The body odor thing, that could happen. Just get a little problem there, and then the loud gas is the other thing that your body betrays you, and it just comes out. We call those at the Hewlett House. We call that an old lady.
Call it an old lady.
You know, you're getting in or out of a car. You're an old lady getting in and out of a car, and all of a sudden,
right?
And then you act like nothing happened because you know you're an old lady, and people are going to respect you regardless. But you can't help it; it just happens.
I have a group of female cousins that call it killing fairies.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So, a fairy just died.
Yeah, all right. Speaking of dead, you're driving along on the road, and there it is, a dead deer. And it's a shame that it's just going to rot and go to waste there, or somebody's going to pick it up and put it into the trash, or the raccoons or the buzzards or something's going to come down. And, well, okay, fine. The food chain works in that respect. But it's right there on the road. Chances are it's just going to get picked up and thrown in the trash. However, some parts of the country, Chris, perhaps where you were raised, roadkill has a completely different purpose.
Certainly. In Idaho, where I was raised, roadkill did not go to waste. It was always picked up. It was brought to either local homeless shelters or to someone savvy enough to be able to skin and cut up this animal.
Yeah.
Go to their house, and then they'd cut it up, package it, freeze it, and you'd have more food for the winter than you had expected. And in Concord, North Carolina, a restaurant manager is apologizing after photos were taken showing him bringing a roadkill deer into the back of his restaurant. When asked by a reporter, Sonny Chen, owner of China Fun Restaurant, said... Hold on.
China Fun. All right, keep going.
Sonny Chen said... I just try to cook it, eat by myself, not for sale. China Fun remains open because the health department says there was no cross-contamination and no evidence of intent to sell to customers.
My favorite Chinese restaurant? Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going there today with my mom. My favorite Chinese restaurant is right next door to a pet store. Should I be concerned?
No, that's Korean, I think, is the one you're supposed to be. If it's Korean food.
What does Sonny Chen, is that his name?
Sonny Chen.
What does he say the definition of China Fun is?
China Fun is just a place where you go and have Chinese food and have fun.
Yeah.
Chen slaughtered the deer in the parking lot and...
In the parking lot?
And then dragged the parts in through to the kitchen. The restaurant still has an A rating, although Chen has apologized.
Yeah. All right.
But there was no cross-contamination. Apparently the guy did okay with... He just utilized the kitchen at his restaurant to... Yeah. Be able to prepare the meat for his home.
Right. Okay. Brooke, we hear all the time about students at schools getting suspended for things that we think are ridiculous.
Absolutely.
You have a suspension story, don't you?
Pardon?
You have a suspension story, don't you?
I sure do. Yes, I do. There is a student in Texas who got suspended for helping a classmate of his get to the nurse while she was suffering from an asthma attack. Yes. He was helping his classmate, and he got suspended.
Well, how did... walk us
this
through.
This has got to be one where there's two sides to the story. Has to be.
Well, the thing was is that the teacher was texting, I believe, the nurse, and was waiting for a response from the nurse before she did anything. Meanwhile, the student was clearly in distress, apparently, at least according to this kid who helped her out, and is like, you know, he actually said something like, F that.
There you go.
And ended up helping her down the hall. And because he disobeyed the teacher and did what he wanted instead of obeying the rules, he got suspended.
Yeah.
And of course, his mother is all up in arms, as anybody's mother would be.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the way you go about it, too. The whole, like, F this, no. F the establishment, I'm taking her anyway, you don't know what you're talking about. That's such a defiant attitude. And it's no wonder that they get in trouble. And then the mother raises heck because the mother probably has a similar attitude towards things.
Yeah, well,
which
see,
is to be defiant.
There's the second side of the story. So yeah. you can.
I'm not defending either side. By the way, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brooke.
Oh, here's the quote saying, "F that. We ain't got time to wait for no email from the nurse." Yeah. And then he walks out of class and carries his other student. But I mean, honestly, I mean, doesn't one clearly trump the other?
Yeah. How old a kid is this again?
He's in high school.
No.
15. Yeah.
15. All right.
Eighth grade classmate.
Yeah, at some point in school, the authority, the understanding of authority got very gray, right?
Yeah, or even just politeness. What about instead of saying the words that this child chose to use or young person chose to use, what about saying, look, I apologize, but I'm going to have to take this person?
That's why I bring up the gray area of authority, because I don't know if it happened in the 60s or the 70s, but there was a time when you went into a school and it was essentially a police state and your teacher was the dictator and you did whatever the teacher said. And at some point, the opinions about how things should be run shifted over to the student body. And so the students have a certain amount of responsibility that they handle with various degrees of responsibility and respect. And so when the students are in charge of the asylum, essentially, then you're going to get that level of disrespect for the teacher, because the teacher isn't 100% in charge. I mean, even in college, the students have to come in and they fill out reviews of the teachers, and the teacher has to then answer to his or her boss based on what the student said. And the students show up late and they miss the assignment, and then they complain that it's not clear what the assignment is. You know what I mean? And so at some point, the authority got all very gray. If you follow what I'm saying, I think we'd do a great deal better for our students if they were taught to sit there and respect authority and do what they're told.
Or just respect each other. I mean, there are teachers that probably cross the line too because so much power was given to them back in the day.
Yeah.
Although, a question should be raised about why this teacher was texting the nurse. I mean, isn't there a direct line?
And yes.
Isn't there more
there
appropriate?
Should be.
I'm actually kind of surprised you guys are taking such a hard stance on his language.
Yeah.
When somebody was in distress.
Well, how we talk to people has a lot to do with the consequences that we receive.
That's all it is. I mean, I'm in favor of getting the kid with the asthma over to the nurse right away. Here's a related story, by the way. A guy in Florida escaped from a house fire last week, and he wanted to save his dogs. The cops who were there told him not to, but he tried anyway, so he was arrested for disorderly conduct. Fortunately, the firefighters did wind up saving the guy's dogs, but the guy got arrested because he talked back to the cops, said, no, and I don't know if he said, F you, and I'm going to save my dogs. But you say that to a police officer, and chances are you're going to get cuffed, right?
Or worse.
Can you imagine just standing there knowing that your dogs are about to die and just doing nothing? I don't think anybody could do that.
Yes. I think you're right. But my dogs are in there. They're going to burn.
Right.
All right.
It's horrible.
Oh, real quick. Wardrobe malfunctions. You ever have them?
Sometimes I forget to zip up my zipper.
Most common. Broken zipper. Then your gut peeking out of the bottom of your shirt. Tight jeans giving you a muffin top. Clothing that's accidentally see-through. Especially when they take the pictures at night, right? If you're wearing black, they're going to see whatever is underneath once the flash hits. You split your pants. Underwear that gives you a visible wedgie. Wearing clothes that accentuate any bulge in your stomach area, and wearing socks with sandals. Okay, that's not really a wardrobe malfunction, but more like a malfunction in your wardrobe selection process. So there we go. Hey, that's it for the program. We love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Twitter at Faf Show. We're on Facebook as well. Like us, love us. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, who's on the show today. Hooray! Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who is not here. Boo. And our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Brooke, for Chris, for all the friends, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.